Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
They score! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt connected! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shay.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
And overcome the adversity on the field.
Hello! Welcome! The party has started. Glad to have you guys aboard another beautiful day in the neighborhood. My name is Argus Shea. Pressing the ones and twos is Mike Rose. He is the magic Mike of all that is magic. It is a very interesting Saturday, to say the least. There are no football games. Well, except for the one. The one that people keep trying to tell me is the most important game of them all. Which, really, life is the most important game of them all. Am I right, guys? Am I right? Come on, guys. Am I right? Life is the most important game. And it's not a game, man. It's serious. So, you got Army-Navy happening this afternoon. Of that, I will watch almost none, to be fair. To be honest, I just want to be honest with you guys. This show isn't about me lying to you and telling you I know everything about Army-Navy, because I don't. But it also would be a lie if I were to tell you I want to know everything about Army-Navy, which is also not true. I have other endeavors in life. Like, Will Muschamp, the new defensive coordinator at Auburn. Whoa! That happened last night, people. Where were you guys? Will Muschamp, the new defensive coordinator at Auburn University. Can I get an amen? Or can I get at least a boom?
Boom.
I watched an hour and a half of Twitter booms last night. I'm done with booms. I know Gus Malzahn likes to boom after he scores, and I know Will Muschamp's a booming machine, and I think I'm boomed out. I think it's we're about 12 hours into the tenure of one. What do they call him again?
Boom.
Coach Boom. That's right, Coach Boom. Yeah, 12 hours in, and I'm boomed out. But it's a huge, huge hire for Auburn, much bigger than when Alabama even got Saban. That may be hyperbole. But it's a huge hire for the Auburn Tigers. If you give me just a minute, I'll get to you the numbers difference from when Coach Boom was at Auburn for a couple of years and what's happened since Coach Boom for the Auburn Tigers. They're pretty brutal. Get to those numbers to you in just a moment. Speaking of numbers, there's a phone number for you to get in. It's 866-485-9867. If you would like to react to Coach Boom or the Army-Navy game or anything that's happened the last couple of days, it's been quite the wild ride for everybody. Well, not that bad, actually. Amari Cooper wins the Biletnikoff Award. First Alabama player to ever win the Biletnikoff. Goes to the nation's best receiver. And really, that was about a slam dunk deal. I know you have to have more than one finalist, or else you call him the winner. But Amari Cooper, by far and away, the best, most explosive, as well as used wide receiver in the history of Alabama. And he wins an award for it. So congratulations go out to him. Reese Dismukes for Auburn wins the Remington Award for the nation's best interior lineman. So that's exciting for him. I watched a few minutes of the award show, to which the Florida State kicker, who was being proclaimed as the best ever as a freshman, got beat by a guy from Maryland. That was the shocker. the Ray Guy Award did not go to the Florida State kicker. Anybody? Crickets. I would ask you to react to that, but I think I've reacted enough for everybody.
Ray Guy is the punter, not the kicker.
Mike, who cares? It's a punter versus a kicker. The Lou Groza, who gives a rat's nose?
Did J.K. Scott win the Ray Guy Award? I didn't see.
I don't know. What do you want me to do? Know everything?
Well,
I'm doing a sports show?
You are the knowledgeable one.
No, I'm not. J.K. Scott did not win the punter award. Okay? God. Anyway, 866-485-9867. Glad to have you guys aboard throughout the day. It is guest-free today, so it's going to be me and Michael talking about stuff throughout the wide, wide, wide world. That award, by the way, went to a guy from Utah. Nobody cares. Punters aren't people. Subject, last Sunday night. Denver, San Diego. San Diego's punter fell, broke his collarbone, I think. Was all wrapped up. He was on the field. I've never seen a TV break because of a punter injury. I've seen it for all kinds of people's injury. Never seen it for a punter injury. And I wanted to tweet at the time, but it felt heartless and cold to do it. That's why I'm going to say it on air where more people can hear it. Does anybody ever feel sorry for a punter? Ever? Hurt? Shanked a punt? All you can do as a punter is make people upset. That's it. You can tweet at the show at ArkySha, ArkySha, and Magic Mike Rose on the Twitter. We can get you on through that throughout the day. In fact, we can start with HATRK219, HATRK219, I guess that's what that is, Joey L, at WUMP730, which is the station Twitter as well, at ArkySha, at Magic Mike Rose. Was that audio from Avs Red Wings Brawl? That was some rivalry. It was. It was, and it was some rivalry. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's start with Coach Boom. Coach Boom is back at Auburn. He is back home. You know, he's from Georgia. He is back home finally. Finally. I think we could finally be happy that Will Muschamp has made it home. He is home. Home. He may be from Georgia, and he may have played at Georgia, but he started his coaching career at Auburn, and that's home. Home is not where you once lived or where you grew up. Home is where you start your coaching career. It's just one thing that annoys me about the over-exaggeration of what happens when you need a coach badly. Auburn was desperate, and they played Will Muschamp hard. They wanted that guy so bad. Will Muschamp had Gus Malzahn all over his jock trying to get him to come to Auburn. All over it. And he paid him like it, too.
So you say Gus wins recruiting of the year?
I'd like to see what Nick Saban does with this class. Probably going to be number one again. But I'd say this is a pretty good pickup for Auburn. Auburn was desperate. They needed somebody who actually brought you some clout. Because the defense the last 2 years has been atrocious. In fact, the defense since 2009 has been atrocious. I got numbers to back that up. The defense has been awful. And teams you don't expect are running all over Auburn. Like a bludgeoned Texas A&M. All over the field. Auburn. Alabama putting up record numbers of their own all over Auburn. In a game where Auburn did what you would think mathematically with their offense, what it would take to win a ball game. South Carolina up and down the field. Georgia up and down the field. Like a rented government mule that's been emaciated. That awful.
I would have gone with redheaded stepchild.
Gus Malzahn needed a name.
But more importantly, he needed a guy with the credentials, with a defensive mind. Will Muschamp brings you all of that. Well, Muschamp also brings you a $1.6 million salary to pay him each year with an escalator in the next 2 years. And it's interesting to note that it's a three-year deal. It's a three-year deal for Will Muschamp. And he was not interested, as I said on the show, not interested in being a head coach in waiting. He's played that game before. Why would you do that to yourself? Because if you're Auburn and you get yourself a top third in the country defense over the next 2 or 3 years, guess who is going to be a hot commodity for a big-time job yet again? His name is William Muschamp. Now, how good is are his defenses? I got some numbers for you. People like stats, right? Make you feel like I know what I'm talking about. There's my notebook. Here we go. I'm going to discount just a little bit numbers that are a decade or older. So that discounts as LSU days. By the way, not bad numbers there. Not that I'm discounting them, cherry picking. Just a decade ago, you think, what's the big deal? So I'll go 8 years ago. In 2006 and 7, he was at Auburn for 2 years. His defenses were 23rd and 6th in the country, giving up 298 yards per game each of those years, 13.9 points and 16.7 points per game. Since then, for Will Muschamp in 2008, 9, and 10 with Texas and 11 through 14 in Florida, his defenses are 48th in the country, 5th, 5th, 9th, 6th, 5th, 4th.
That's not bad there.
That's with a terrible offense, except for his first year at Florida.
Do you even say that the offense of Florida was even good at that time?
I do say because they made a Sugar Bowl. But I think
Jeff Driscoll was
because,
the quarterback.
Yeah, Jeff Driscoll has been around forever, by the way.
Yes.
2012 Sugar Bowl. Since then for Auburn, with Gus Malzahn, say Will Muschamp, but when Gus Malzahn was on the staff in 2009 and 10, but 2008 we start with the defense. The defenses have been 26th, 82nd, 94th, 91st, 64th, 115th, and they played for the national championship last year, 58th. Giving up 318 a game, 374, 368, 408, 421, 421. 389 yards per game. Points, 18, 27.5, 24, 28.9, 28.3, 24.7, 26.1. That is awful.
Eesh.
To give you some kind of perspective, it's 130 yards more given up last year than what Will Muschamp gave up when he was at Auburn. That's 130 yards difference.
Didn't Vanderbilt have a better off or better defense than Auburn this year?
I don't want to bring that up. There are so many reasons this guy is a good hire. And $1.6 million is a lot of money. And I'll never discount that. But as I've been saying for the last week and a half, I can't get around it. It's the cost of doing business, which I hate. I hate. But Will Muschamp is going to bring Auburn legitimacy, a great recruiter, and a great coach on one side of the ball. And when all of this broke last night, everybody was super excited. Let me break down the timeline. Just momentarily break down the timeline. Because Philip Marshall is getting credit for this hire. Excuse me, for this breaking story. I would like to go, and that, by the way, happened at 8:33 last night.
8:33, all right.
I would like to go 1:31 in the afternoon yesterday. 7 hours before Philip Marshall breaks the story.
Is this somebody I know that we're about to talk about?
Friend of the station and the host of the morning show, Cole Kublik, tweeted out the letter B, capitalized, the letter O, capitalized, a second letter O, capitalized, a capital M, and an exclamation point. Now, as I click on that right now, it has 77 retweets and 63 favorites. This must have been because he saw Gus Malzahn on like an SEC Rewind. Or because someone scooped Philip Marshall. Ahem. Philip Marshall, what you owe is my friend Cole Kublik a dinner. And I think he'd probably just prefer you to give him cash. Our own Cole Kublik broke the story. And here's the thing. At 1:31 yesterday, Cole Kublik tweets, boom, exclamation point. Referring to some testing at the Arsenal, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Tweets, boom. And then when news did not break at 5 o'clock, people freaked out. People freaked out. Oh, it's 5 o'clock. Where's the news? You guys should stop believing everything you read on the internet. Stop. Stop. Because heaven forbid, Auburn has a deadline of 5 o'clock in the evening on a weekday. It is a working day. But Auburn has a deadline of 5 o'clock to break a story. Please. Please. It's not you trying to get your fax machine fixed. It's not you trying to get your cable installed. It's someone trying to hire a coordinator for their team. It could break whenever it damn well pleases. 6 o'clock, there was a story that was going to be announced at 6 o'clock Central. On Twitter, what do I see? Well, if Will Muschamp just wants to shop around this much, why doesn't he just go somewhere else? I'm okay with Bill Clark. I think he'd be an excellent hire.
Now, don't be dogging Bill Clark.
I'm dogging the people on Twitter who were so despondent because they didn't have word by 6 o'clock that it couldn't happen. And then at 9 o'clock last night, boom, 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 coach, boom, 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 everybody boom, 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 I love boom, boom me mama, boom goes to dynamite, boom, boom, boom. I could not get through two consecutive tweets without boom. It seems like everybody's okay with it now. Everybody's okay. The phone number is 866-485-9867. Get you in throughout the day, 9 to 11 today. No Alabama pregame to get you to. They will not be talking about that Sugar Bowl for another couple of weeks. So let's go to the phone lines now and... let's do this full 2 hour ride. Let's check out TJ on the line. TJ, boom.
What's going on, Arky?
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I missed you this week in the afternoon.
I've missed touching buttons and rubbing on mics.
Yeah, I've had to listen to Doug Gottlieb for a week.
I don't wish that on anybody.
But anyway, I just hope Auburn fans understand that this is not going to be a quick turnaround. Will Muschamp, as good a coach as he is, he's not going to step in and immediately Auburn have a top three defense. I mean, if you watch them last year, the players are in position. They're just not making tackles. They're not making plays. And that's a coach's job, is to get you in position to make the play. If you can't make it, the coach can't do too much about it. It's going to take him a couple years to get some ball players in there, and then it'll have them in good shape. But I just hope Auburn fans don't come out next year when they have a maybe middle-of-the-road-to-average defense and get all upset and pitch a fit.
Well, TJ, I'll tell you this, and I'm going to go into it in-depth in this next segment because we're about to get to break, but if you can get above 1/15th is yards per game allowed, and you can get above 58th into the top 30 or so, I think every Auburn fan in the country would take that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't get too much worse.
Nope, not unless you start going out to the Mountain West.
I mean, you could hire Derek Mason. You might get a little worse then, but, I mean,
there's
not really any further down to go.
That's as bad as low as it goes. But then he'll get to fire himself, too, as a defensive coordinator wherever
That's
he goes.
That's true. You boys have a good morning.
TJ, appreciate the call. And you guys can do like TJ, make it onto the phone lines, 866-485-9867. TJ brings up a very interesting point, which is now the topic for my next discussion. What should Auburn expect in 2015 from that defense and from Will Muschamp? And who can you look at to say there's a shining beacon to say we got real talent? What are we going to do with it? I'll tell you all about that next. Oh, yeah, and the Heisman sometime tonight. What ifs? Sports Flood. Here comes the boom, ready or not. Here comes the voice for the sound. Here comes the boom, ready or not. How you like me now, I say. We rep the South, so what you talking about? Oh, yeah, I guess the South. That's no sense from Arkansas, so I guess it's heading to Arkansas feels like the Midwest to me. I don't know why. It's just not to like the South. Whatever. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Sports Flood. They tell you to reset all the time. I don't reset worth jack. That's probably why I'm stuck on Saturdays. Glad to have you aboard. 866-485-9867. If you would like to get in on the phone lines and on Twitter, it's at Arkyshea, A-R-K-Y-S-H-E-A, and at Magic Mike Rose. Speaking of that Twitter storyteller, Danny T tweets at Magic Mike Rose, did you not give Ed Arkyshea his Prozac before the show? He's going to actually explode if he keeps hollering, boom, hashtag chill out. Solid hashtag. Hashtag chill out indeed. Why don't you chill out, Danny T? Boom! Okay. So what do you expect from Auburn in year number one? I think that's the next question, because this show is about advancing the conversation a little bit. We're going to talk about what can he realistically do for Auburn in year number one. I think most Auburn fans will give him a very, very large pass in year number one. Although they shouldn't, because he's a coordinator, not a head coach. But if you look at the numbers that Auburn had this season, I mean, giving up 5.5 yards per play, 389 yards per game, 26.1 points per game. Those numbers are bad. 58th in the country in yards allowed per game. With this offense that Gus Malzahn runs, he's never going to have a top five defense. It just won't happen physically. But the great thing about Auburn, as you can see from last year being 115th in the country in yards per game allowed, you don't have to have a top five defense to win the national championship with that type of offense. What you need is a top 20 defense, even a top 25. You get into the upper tier, the upper echelon of college football with your yards per game allowed, you allow for a lot of room for success. Third down defense, I'm not so much worried about. Yards per play, I am. You have to limit the other team. And Auburn is not set up right now to limit very many teams. There's going to be a marked improvement from Ellis Johnson to Will Muschamp. I don't think that's debatable. But I do think there is some credence to what's been said about Ellis Johnson being semi-handcuffed. And it's not by his talent. It's by his offense. There's only so many plays. There's only so many times big four front defensive linemen can get up and hold that attack throughout a game. I think there's a cap at that. And I think you got to give yourself a shot if you're Gus Malzahn, because I think the best thing Gus Malzahn can do in year one with Will Muschamp is to slow down the offense when it's not going great. Just keep it okay. Realize if you're in the red zone, maybe you don't have to snap it as soon as you get up to the line. Because what you did when you got up to the line, and what you're going to do, is you're going to run a zone read. That's what you've done the last couple of years. With Jeremy Johnson, how different will that be? A little. I think it's fair to say it'll be a little different. But especially early, when you're transitioning a new quarterback, an adjusted offensive system, and a defense that everyone is going to be excited to see. Series number one, what can they do? It's series number seven that you have to worry about. What is Auburn's defense looking like stamina-wise late in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter? And I don't think you'll know that truly until you get into SEC play. Because I don't think game one Louisville's going to run you down the field as much, although Bobby Petrino in that offense scares you a little. But I think you give some credence to installing something new with Gus Malzahn. And Auburn's defensive line is losing a lot. They're losing a lot. But luckily, and I hope for his sake, that the coaches aren't pushing Carl Lawson to come back for the bowl game. Because the bowl game is not virtually, absolutely meaningless for Carl Lawson. You get a true pass rusher like him back, then what do you got to do if you're Will Muschamp? It's what you had to do if you were going to be Ellis Johnson this year or Bill Clark or whoever was going to be your defensive coordinator. To replenish that defensive front, you got to hit JUCO hard. You got to hit JUCO hard. And I know there's an Ole Miss commit that I think Will Muschamp is supposed to be visiting today, who's a cornerback. I think his name's Justin Jones or something like that. You need to hit the JUCO route hard. But I tell you who I don't think you have to go JUCO route for. And it's a guy that I've been high on ever since he left the area. Was a tailback. Now hanging back there in the defensive backfield. Jonathan Ford. Rudy Ford, number 23. I think that kid has a lot of promise. A lot of closing speed. A lot of great technique when he's tackling. Some lapses here or there, which will happen with a redshirt freshman. Or maybe a true sophomore. I can't remember how much time he got last year, or a redshirt sophomore. But he's a baby. Now, eventually, he's going to not be a baby. You're going to have to expect something from him. But Auburn fans in the world expected Derek Moncrief to be a great safety or a corner. That didn't work out. Jonathan Ford could not stay off the field. Coaches could not. They tried to make Derek Moncrief the guy. Jonathan Ford wouldn't let him do it. That's the kind of tenacity, if you're an Auburn fan, you need to see. A kid who's willing to get better, who works hard, and who shows a lot of talent. Ball skills need to get better. He's not a bad guy, though. I think that guy could be really, really special for the next couple of years, especially with Will Muschamp doing a little tutelage for him. But what's realistic to expect from all of this in year one? It's all about progress, right? It's all about progress. If you look at the worst years for Will Muschamp as a defensive coordinator, he gave up 340 yards per game in his first year at Texas. Aside from that, you're looking right around the 300 to 310 yard per game mark. 310 yards is 80 yards better than what they gave up last year. If Auburn can get to the 325-yard mark, that puts them in the top tier. That puts them 75 yards difference, 50 yards difference, depending on what number they get. That's kind of important. That's kind of where you got to set the benchmark. If you could get year one from 389 to even 340, the worst year he had at Texas, and he only allowed over 300 yards per game four different times. 340 was his worst, 314 his next worst. If you can get around that number, you've made significant progress. And you think, well, that's half a football field. There's only a half a football field difference between 58th and 20th. Big deal? I say so. 866-485-9867. When we come back, we're actually going to talk about the Heisman Trophy. Did Amari Cooper did enough? Did he do enough to win it? Is Marcus Mariota, is he the guy that gets it no matter what? Why is Melvin Gordon even there? It's all next. It's all on the Sports Flip.
Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that death, I stand the good God. Let me give you my life. Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife.
Welcome back in, Sports Flip. Glad to have you guys aboard. Phone number 866-485-9867. Get to that in just a moment. I'll let you know that in a moment, going to break down in its entirety the Heisman Trophy ceremony. It's an hour-long ceremony with commercials, but your winner will be announced here. Why? Why not? That's as compelling a reason as possible.
Very much so.
Let's go to the phone lines now, and let's speak with a friend of the show, Danny T. Danny, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I could not be better.
I'm about to steal your thunder there, Mr. Shea.
All right.
I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
First, Marcus Mariota in a landslide, and it's obvious if you look at the signs. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Normally, the Downtown Athletic Club invites five finalists to New York on the first Saturday, or the second Saturday, excuse me, of December.
Traditionally.
How many did they invite this year? Three.
There are three.
Okay. Here's why. Number one, what the hell is Gordon doing there after he got his behind waxed last weekend? Number two, the only reason Amari, and I'm a Bama fan, don't get me wrong, everybody knows that. The only reason Amari Cooper is in New York today is to give somewhat of a little bit of legitimacy to the process. Because the way the marketing machine has been pumping Mr. Mariota for the last 2 years, there's no other outcome logically to this process. And the reason that there are not two more finalists there is because if there were, that would lead more to an argument, it's too early in the morning and I haven't had my coffee yet, an argument that, okay, if so-and-so was in the running, why didn't they get it? Marcus Mariota has been preordained and pre-coronated, new word for you guys, to be the Heisman Trophy winner ever since it was handed to Jameis Winston last year. And I'm surprised they didn't give it to him last year. So that is why he will win in a landslide and why there were only three finalists in 2014.
Danny T, I appreciate the call. There is some legitimacy to what you say, at least I believe in my heart of hearts. I do think that no matter the case, no matter the breakdown of the numbers, that there should be five people invited. Five. You say, who could the other two be this year? I don't know. How about a Trevon Boykin? You know, bring in the TCU quarterback who had stupid, silly numbers.
He's pretty good.
How about just bring in Telvin Coleman? You know, the guy who's second in the NCAA in rushing yards right now. Now, the reason Melvin Gordon is there is because he leads the country in rushing yards.
And dude put up 408 against Nebraska in three quarters.
Was the fastest player ever to 2,000 rushing yards and led the country in rushing yards by 300-plus yards.
And I bet you that most of the Heisman voting was done before the championship games.
Well, here's the thing. I do believe that you should, as a Heisman voter, and I don't know many that are any good, but as a Heisman voter, you should be required not to submit a ballot until after the championship games. Just because you don't award it until after the championship games. It's extra games to watch. Because it's not just the championship game anymore. As we see the Big 12 the last couple of years, it's an extra week of games for them. So if you submit it before the championship games, it means you're submitting it before the 12th game for Trevon Boykin, which I tell you is highly unfair.
I wonder who Jameis voted for.
Well, listen, didn't Trey Mason get invited to the Heisman Trophy ceremony last year? And he was not even close.
It was Trey Mason, AJ McCarron.
Was not even close. The point is, you don't have to be close to be invited. Five should be the number. You can make an excuse to bring in just about anybody you want. Even JT Barrett. He had great numbers before his injury. It's not like he got injured in week 7. Anyway, the Heisman Trophy has predominantly been a quarterback-dominated award. And normally I like to rail against the system. And I do. I think there's a lot unfair about this. For example, tracking the best player in the country is almost impossible to not think a quarterback is going to win it, or best case, a tailback, because a quarterback touches the ball the most of anybody on the field, besides the center, and a tailback touches it the second most. They're the two most hands on the ball during the game players on the field. That's why they always win it. They have the chance. Amari Cooper, tremendous player. Amazing. Best receiver in the country by far. His numbers are equally silly. 115 catches, 1,650 yards, 14 touchdowns. That's awesome. But as many touches as he has, 100 and actually 18 with his rushing yards too, because he has a couple of rushing yards. That's still 140 fewer completions than Marcus Mariota's had. Not to mention the 372 attempts he has had. He's just had more opportunities to show you his skill set. And that's why this award is inherently unfair to anybody unless a quarterback. He swept the quarterback awards Thursday night. I think it was Thursday. He's the best quarterback this year. It's really unfair to put a Melvin Gordon and an Amari Cooper there, especially for Amari Cooper. But the reason he is there is because the numbers he's put up has been so silly that you can't not consider him. Melvin Gordon is only there, I promise you, because of his 400-yard game. If he had a 185 game, he'd be close to 2,000, maybe a little over 2,000. But you know who's also over 2,000, who's not even close to getting invited? Tevin Coleman from Indiana, 2,036 yards. And those are the two best, far as production-wise, tailbacks in the country. But if he hadn't had a 400-yard game against a top 20 opponent, he doesn't get invited. And then it's a two-person race. It's the only reason I should say he's being considered.
Well, the other thing is, too, if you look at Wisconsin, their quarterback play this year was just, oh, my God, bad.
It was. They went two quarterbacks.
Do you think that was the reason Gary Anderson decided to go to Cornvallis?
The quarterbacks?
Yeah. And he's losing Melvin Gordon.
Look, he was going to have a shot at having Jordan Howard, the UAB kid. He was supposed to go visit Wisconsin. The Gary Anderson left, and Jordan Howard canceled his visit there. Wisconsin just turns out tailbacks.
And offensive linemen.
Great collegiate tailbacks and offensive linemen. That's not going to be an issue. The more and more I read about that situation, the more and more I just think it's people with purse strings that are a little tight. A little tight. But Marcus Mariota, 38 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. 53 total touchdowns. Melvin Gordon is 29. Amari Cooper, 14. And I would say there's a guy named Trevon Boykin who didn't get invited who had 38 touchdowns. And JT Barrett didn't get invited that had 45 touchdowns. Those guys didn't get invited. And I don't think he was anointed to start just the season. But nobody came up this year. Jameis Winston had a chance until the season started because of all his off-the-field issues. They weren't going to bring him back and give him a chance to win it again. They weren't going to vote for him. I'd be interested to see how many votes tonight he gets. That may be the only reason I tune in. Because they're not just going to show you the top three. They're going to show how they broke down. Be interested to see where Jameis Winston landed on that list. Because he's a former winner. And he came back this year. But also, he didn't have that great of a year. He had great comebacks and great moments, so to speak. In the second half of games, he was lights out. But his team trailed, I think, in 8 different games this year.
I could see maybe 2 votes. Him and Charlie Ward voting for Jameis.
It's a good thing about being a former winner. You get to vote.
Vote for me. I'm strong.
Check my first place. There is no second place.
But also, do you think that this is going to be the start after what happened with Jameis Winston last year, that the Heisman is going to pretty much be exclusive to juniors and seniors?
I think it's exclusive to quarterbacks and maybe tailbacks. I don't think the classification matters.
Well, remember, Ndamukong Suh finished, what was it, second? Or no, it wasn't second. It was like fourth a couple years ago in the Heisman voting. If you got a defensive lineman that could finish fourth, there could possibly be another, say, like Charles Woodson coming around.
There could be, but you got to put up stupid numbers nowadays. Because we are in an offensive age of football, and we got to see highlights. We can't see you in the trenches just being able to get off blocks, shed blocks, and get to a guy 2 yards down the line of scrimmage. That doesn't matter anymore. It's not sexy. It's not catchy. It's not what grabs you. It's why J.J. Watt may be the best player in the NFL right now, but he will not be anywhere near winning the NFL MVP. Not unless some people collapse.
You do have a very good point right there. But, I mean, honestly, if you look at it, the SEC-wise, we got Myles Garrett coming. I mean, he could make a whole lot of noise being in Texas.
Yeah. He's got to get a lot of numbers.
That, but he
Jadeveon Clowney,
he got
to get a lot of numbers.
He broke Clowney's sack record for a freshman this year.
Yeah, for a freshman.
And Derek Barnett, the same thing.
I need numbers. That's just what it is. Doesn't mean I don't think that they're great players. Jadeveon Clowney, his sophomore season, possibly the best player on the field every time he went out there. And against anybody he could have gone against, probably best player on the field. It's not how it's measured anymore. 866-485-9867 is the phone number to get in. When we come back, lot more football talk. I want to get into a story where a current head coach actually called the playoffs un-American. It's next. Sports Flood. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Sports Flood. A couple quick thoughts before I get to Troy Calhoun at Air Force saying that the college football playoff is un-American. When you're America's game and it's Army-Navy and your guest picker and your best you can do all the time, always from that game is Roger Staubach, you got some issues, man.
He's Captain America, man.
52 years ago, man.
You're a Cowboys fan?
I'm fine with him being the Cowboys' former quarterback. I just would not call him to be the only guy I knew to ever come from the Dallas Cowboys or from the Naval Academy. Discuss there anything else. The other thing I want to get to real quick is social media is a hoot. At Arkiche, at Magic Mike Rose on Twitter. We're both on Facebook as well. You got to love Alabama and Auburn, the rivalry, because it's nonstop. There's a lot of people who were excited about the boom, boom, I know, boom, boom, boom. And you can't just let Auburn have a day or even a couple hours without you starting to tweet out some memes to say, oh, yeah, this is not a big deal, guys. Come on, you guys are still awful. Guess what? Nick Saban will own you. Tweeting out pictures of Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban together, be like, what are we going to do, coach? I don't know. I can't stop him. You can't stop him. What are we going to do?
Who says that Lane's going to stay at Tuscaloosa?
Lane will be there shorter than Muschamp will be at Auburn. That's true. Next year, I think, will be Lane's last year. Because, honestly, with Muschamp interviewing at Houston, which was a surprise to me, because I thought Houston would be a place that he wouldn't even answer a phone call from. But I guess, you know, when you got someone beating down your door like, sir, can I talk to you about, you know, our broadcast spread the good news about Houston football? No, not like when the Jehovah's Witness come up to your door like, no, that's fine. Or you close the blinds to make sure they didn't see you. No, I don't think you saw me. I don't think Houston saw me. Shh. Houston will walk away. Houston, shh. Sir, shh. So he took the meeting with Houston, which surprised me. But I think Lane Kiffin will be in line for a lot of opportunities next year. Especially if he does anywhere near the type of offensive numbers he did this year. He'll be way in line. He'll be a head coach somewhere. Where? I don't know. Auburn, maybe? Maybe the new offensive coordinator at Auburn? Ted Lashley's going to get like an offensive coordinator. Coordinated gig like a Tulsa eventually. That does it for hour number one, 866-485-9867. How is the college football playoff un-American? Troy Calhoun from Air Force tells us next, plus why I agree. Sports Flood.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
They score! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt connected! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shay.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome back in, Sports Flood. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Glad to have you guys aboard yet again. The phone number to get in, 866-485-9867. Glad to have you join the program. Troy Calhoun is not a fan of the college football playoff, and nor should he be. to that story next. First, let's go to the phone lines to talk to B-Ran on the phone lines to talk with us. B-Ran, good morning.
What's going on, man?
Not too much. Just watching Army-Navy pregame. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that he being on today.
We all did.
And that'll be about like the Titans and Jets tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Only worse.
One thing I want to touch on is Kiffin going somewhere with a head coach. You got to look at where's he going to go that he's going to have stability and get the money that he gets where he's at now.
I don't think he's going to be like SEC level or even maybe Pac-12 level, but I think someone's going to take a chance.
So that's exactly what you said. Go to Conference USA or Sun Belt or whatever. Which one of them schools can pay him what Alabama's paying him? None of them.
So I don't even think it'll be lower tier. I think there's going to be something surprisingly that opens up. It seems to be every year, and I don't like to just make general statements like that because it just doesn't feel like a real specific answer. But, I didn't expect Wisconsin to open up, Oregon State to open up this year. So there's always something that just seems to float there for you to open up that he could be in the running for. So that's why I think next year he'll get some interest. I see him next year probably being his last year, unless just we see what happened in the SEC a couple years ago where there was no head coach vacancies.
Everybody said that about Kirby Smart too. That was everything to talk about for 2 years is that, Kirby's going to leave and take a job somewhere else. Well, he's going to leave and take a job somewhere else. Well, he knew his job was safe where he was at, and he knew he was making dadgum good money. And so he stayed where he was at, and he's still making good money, and he still got his job. So, I don't know how long Kiffin will stay just because Kiffin, he is who he is. And I said since day one that I didn't like him, and, I still don't like his ways, he is a great offensive coordinator, but that doesn't mean I have to like him. I'm sure Mike doesn't like him. the Tennessee, the sewer treatment plant they named after him up there. And USC probably, they didn't like him evidently either. But another thing I want to touch on is, what's up with Michigan? They've offered, the job to everybody, and nobody will take it. Nobody will even go talk to them.
This is what happened to Tennessee the last couple coaching hires before Butch Jones, which is that you didn't get the first guy you wanted, so you just have to keep going down the list, and all of a sudden that's why Derek Dooley shows up at your doorstep like your head coach.
Don't remind me.
Of a team that was of a guy who was career below 500 at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, I think Michigan offered Buckhorn and Buckhorn's high school coach, and they turned it down. But they got problems at Michigan. The athletic director, everything at Michigan. I think that's what's hurting taking that job now. It's just the whole athletic department is in turmoil. So, but there is some coaching toss up. I do think Auburn, got a good hire, with Muschamp coming back. I don't know about home. I don't think he has any ties here, but I heard you say in the opening, in the first few minutes of the show there, that he was coming back home. I don't think he's from Alabama, but
it's close. Rome, Georgia, it's close.
there's another job that, how many more years is Mark Richt going to not make the SEC championship and get to keep his job?
If you can go every 5 years, make the SEC championship game, be close against Alabama, and give yourself another 4 years leash. I'm with you, B-Ran. I think if you want to get that next level, you have to get rid of them. But we're seeing, with the situation here, you go 9-10 wins, you have to find a way to possibly justify firing a guy that's getting you 9-10 wins every single year. And who's going to replace him to give you more than that? It's just, there's not that many guys that you could sell to people to say this guy can definitely do this for us.
And he's a nice guy.
He's a pleasant fella.
That's the bad thing is he's just such a nice guy they just can't fire him.
You can't fire nice people.
Yeah, I mean, he's the type of guy that's not going to run the score up on you. He's going to pull his first string out. You know, I mean, he's just that kind of guy. And it's like you said, he gets them 9 or 10 wins, but he can't get them to the SEC championship, and he can't pull off, you know, he can't put them where they want to be. And, I don't know if either Georgia fans are just going to come accustomed to that and accept it or, you know, but like you said, that buys him a 4 or 5 year leash every time that he pulls off 9 or 10 wins. So, congratulations on y'all's hire. And, I think that you're right. I don't think, and the caller earlier, don't remember his name, but, you know, the one that said, don't look for it to come out and turn around next year. I agree, but I also disagree. I think it will turn around some. I mean, I think that it's going to improve dramatically, but I don't think that it will be, I don't think that they'll be in the SEC championship next year, but I think they'll have a heck of a lot better defense than what they did this year.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, B-Ran. Thanks for getting in each morning. You don't have to go from 58th to 2nd to be competing in the SEC and competing for the SEC championship and competing for the Auburn's defense, people, yards per game allowed last year, 421. That's pretty awful. That's 115th in the country. And that team played for the national championship. You get above that, you're actually in pretty good shape. Auburn is only about 50, 60 yards away from being in the top 25, top 30 of defense.
And that's all Auburn needs to do. Really. I mean,
you don't need to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 for this offense. And this offense won't allow you to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6.
And
it'll allow you to be maybe 20, 22.
If you look at it, too, we saw how the offense did with Jeremy Johnson playing in limited time this year, especially against Arkansas. That game against Arkansas and the way that offense was going, this is going to be a fun Auburn offense this year. Instead of just running the football down your throat, we're actually going to have some good throwing and good passing going on.
Yeah, but what about the Iron Bowl? What? People like to throw in there. Did Jeremy Johnson set a record? Yeah. I mean, didn't Nick Marshall set a record? Yes. Of course he did. That's not the point. 866-485-9867. The point is, you don't have to go from zero to hero in year one. You just got to go from this sucks to ain't that bad. And then all of a sudden, you're in contention. You can play for the SEC championship. You can consistently hold ground with Alabama. You can hold ground with LSU. You can hold ground with whatever comes from the East, which tends to be Missouri since they've joined the conference. You can hold ground with these teams and find yourself, again, amongst the top four to play for the college football national championship. Speaking of that, there is a man that does not like the college football playoff. And his name's not Archie Shea. All right, I get some people behind me. It's Air Force head coach Troy Calhoun. He gave an interview to the Colorado Springs Gazette, my Bible. I read that every day. Quote, there is no doubt that it's all set up for five conferences as it is, he said. You've got to be in one of those five conferences. Great point, sir. It's un-American, bottom line. He continued, we live in a country where upward mobility is possible, where games should be played out on the field. End quote. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Was it that much better because it came from the Air Force Academy's head coach?
A guy who knows American is somebody who's representing the Air Force, one of our branches of government, sort of. I call them our football government. Doesn't matter. One of our branches of the military. Hey, their head coach is saying, this is bogus. And by the way, Air Force wasn't 1-11 this year, and Air Force isn't on a 7-game losing streak to the Naval Academy. Air Force is 9-3. 9-3. Not saying he should be in the college football playoff discussion, but he's realistic in saying there's no way we were ever going to be considered. Only one team outside of the Power 5 conferences finished with a one loss or fewer, and that's Marshall. And everybody laughed at Marshall. They're conference champions. whatever.
Oh, now you're back on the Marshall bandwagon?
Listen, I'm saying when you go 12-1 and everybody laughs at you, but they give Boise State your lone berth into an access bowl, which is so, people, if you need to know nothing else about the college football playoff, listen to the language they use.
Game control.
Power Five conferences. That's awesome. Are those the only conferences? No. There's the Group of Five. Those other guys. They're out there trying to play. Come on, Lafayette. You're silly. You can't play. Come on, Troy. You're silly. Don't be silly. Come on, Boise. That's just stupid. Don't even try to play. Marshall, have you seen your strength of schedule? Please. Please. Access Bowl. Poor Fiesta Bowl. They get to be the Access Bowl. Remember a few years ago when there were two non-power conference teams that qualified for the BCS? So as opposed to having TCU and Boise State play someone like Wisconsin or play someone like Alabama, you know who they played? Each other! They put them in the Fiesta Bowl against each other.
No, wait.
And they used the terminology Fiesta Bowl, quote, falling on the sword, so these little kids can go pretend to play some football.
If I can defend that part a little bit, TCU's rise into the Big 12 was because of them going to the BCS two straight years from being in the Mountain West. That put a big factor in for the Big 12.
I understand.
And the Big 12's looking for expansion.
But don't miss out on the fact that because two non-automatic qualifying teams, there's more phraseology for you. They were non-automatic qualifying, which means you win a big power, big old boy conference. You're automatically better.
Well, why doesn't Air Force try and get into the Big 12 then?
But because you were two baby teams that somehow got really good and qualified somehow magically through this math system we created, that we won't put one in the Fiesta Bowl and one in, let's say, the Orange Bowl. You both earned a BCS bid. Well, you both get your BCS bid against each other. Suck it, lower teams. You think you got one over on us? No, we showed you. Because college football's fair, right? College football's all about that fairness. And by the way, don't throw me, and it took some restraint for me not to lean over to the console and choke you when you said, why doesn't the Air Force just join the Big 12? The Big 12 has to invite Air Force.
Yeah, but they can make a pitch.
The Big 12 has to invite Boise. Everybody can make – I can make a pitch. I still have to get an invite.
Yeah, but there's
if
no –
if they don't want me, they won't have me.
Right now, Memphis and Cincinnati is the favorites, quote unquote.
If FUBAR don't want me, they won't have me.
How could Memphis and Cincinnati in football be the favorites to go to the Big 12?
Because there's nobody else out there. We've taken all the power teams, and all of a sudden, we look at Memphis, and we may be like, well, are we going to make them a power team?
They had one good season.
In basketball.
No, in football.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
I mean, they did get co-AAC champions.
The point is, Troy Calhoun is right. We do live in a country where upward mobility is possible, where we're told every single day, we tell our kids, look, if you just work hard, and you play hard, and you practice hard, and you stick your nose to the grindstone, put it in the books, whatever you cliche you want to use, you can make something out of yourself. You can achieve more than what you have right now, except for the fact college football, you can't. College football is screwing one of its own conferences, Power Five conferences, out of a participant.
Well, that's because the Big 12, or Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, decided to call them co-champions.
Let me just tell you.
That basically gave the college football playoff committee the way out of leaving both of them out. And the way Art Briles reacted on Sunday afternoon was glorious.
Let me just say this. This playoff system was put in place before the Big 12 had co-champions.
But still, naming them co-champions?
If you named Baylor the champion, and Baylor got the benefit of the doubt, there was going to be one conference champion at least. that was not going to get the benefit
well,
of the doubt.
Well, you were going to make, I mean, Bowlesby could have made one team butthurt, and then the other one would have had a legitimate shot to get into the playoff, but then you make both teams feel good, and then they both get butthurt by the committee.
But to be fair, Bob Bowlesby's trying to do right by his conference. He's the conference commissioner, not the Baylor AD or the TCU AD. Except for, he did say on Dan Patrick the following day that if he had a choice to put a team to the playoff, he would pick TCU. So, Bob Bowlesby, you're an idiot. I don't know what to do with you. But he's, at least in that scenario, he's trying to do right by his conference because he wants to say, look, we think they both had tremendous years. It's a bad, miscalculated ploy. That being said,
when you
Calhoun, don't get me off track here. Troy Calhoun is absolutely right. This is un-American.
Art Brown said the same thing, too.
If I'm in the same field as you, and I'm told that no matter how good I do, I'm not even going to be considered for a promotion, no matter what I do, for whatever reason, that by virtue is okay, we're okay with that. But we're okay with our college football being that way because Alabama is the man. They play big boy football in Tuscaloosa, and they play big boy football in Columbus, and they play it over at Pac-12 Eugene. They don't play big boy football over at the Air Force. It's not fair. I know I feel like I probably sound like some screaming, bleeding heart liberal at this point. But I'm telling you, listen to the language that they use just to describe these other people. Don't tell me this isn't oppressive. There is no way, and I'll say this till the day I die, there is no way you're ever going to favorably compare an undefeated Marshall, an undefeated, let's just say Troy to keep it in state, an undefeated South Alabama, an undefeated Georgia Southern. There's no way you're ever going to say, based on the criteria that the committee said this year, there's no way they're going to favorably be compared to any of the power conferences.
But who are...
They don't play in the big conferences.
Who are they playing?
It's not their fault, people! They don't choose the conference they're in! They choose the conference that has them!
They do choose to be in said conference.
Because the SEC won't invite Troy. I'm not saying the SEC should invite Troy, but you shouldn't scream at Marshall for not having the SEC power of schedule because you don't have them in stupid conference. Tired of that argument. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's dumb. You can't compare. You can't. Listen to me. If Marshall had played Alabama, LSU, Missouri, and Ole Miss this year, beat all of them by 30, and then ran their schedule, you think they'd get a shot? No way. Not based on your criteria. The strength of schedule, you say, look, those are four nice wins, but you see, they had to take on Southern Mississippi. Bogus. It's bogus. It's a flawed, filthy system that I want nothing to do with. 866-485-9867. Let's blow it up! Sportsflip. Sports Plus, glad to have you on the show. Oh, my God. Glad to have you guys aboard. 866-485-9867 is the way you get in on Twitter at Arkisha at Magic Mike Rose. Tweeting into the show now is storyteller Danny T. I love me some Ed Arkisha. Boy, do know how to get himself fired up. Wonder if he'll be this animated after he's married. Hashtag don't drink, don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I did have a beer at a Christmas party, but I didn't even finish the beer. I'm such a baby when it comes to beer. Okay, all right. This is where my stand-up world enters into my radio world. I don't understand all these hippies coming at me. And I know they're called hipsters now, but they're hippies now. They're still hippies. They come to me and they say, hey, man. Hey, bro. Have you ever had this fat tire belt liquored beer? that yeah, it's fresh, man. You'll like it. You'll like it. Hey, man, you ever this is a new thing called Ladyface. Yeah, it's pretty solid, man. You ever had this, man? It's a nice stout ale. Yeah, man. Yeah, there's so many different beers out there, so many ales that I don't understand how this happens, and I don't, and I really, and I'm being, everything I say on this show is sincere. Back to college football playoff, I sincerely believe. This, I sincerely believe. People are beer weird now. They get beer weird on me. They get beer weird on me. They come to me, I'm like, dude, man, you don't like beer that much? You must not have had the lazy traveler nipple lick. That is one good beer, man. That it's fresh brewed right in my basement, actually. People come into my, it's not even mine. People come into my basement and they brew it fresh, man. Once you have this, you'll know you've had beer.
Beer weird?
Beer weird. They get weird on me with beer. Beer weird.
Let's get weird? Really?
It's just like when someone tells you, dude, you haven't seen Captain America? Come on, man. Seriously, you haven't seen Captain America? Come on, man. It's the same people except with beer. You guys are beer nerds. Not into that. Not into the nerd, not into the beer nerd. I'm only into the sports nerd part. And I don't even like stats that much. I get into stats because other people need stats for me to prove what I'm talking about. There's your freaking whatever his name is, Will Muschamp stat. Look, I did my homework there. Fine. I just want to talk about the guy. Broke my microphone. I just want to talk about the guy. That's all I want to do. All I want to do is talk, people. All I want to do is talk. You guys are forced to listen to it. 866-485-9867. So one thing I do like about what's happened since the college football playoff has come into place is this new bowl system, so to speak, that it's not, okay, we have to have ACC number 2 versus Big Ten number 4. And Pac-12 number 6 has to take on Big 12 number 9. I'm glad I don't have to see that anymore. Now, there's still the bowl tie-ins, which I argue are ridiculous, but they're for contract reasons. I get it. Again, another reason that you idiots should understand this whole thing's about money. It's not interested in fairness. Maybe I'm the idiot that should realize that. It's not about fairness. It's about getting cash and money, yo.
That's been, like, a long time going.
Marshall would not ever get to a college football playoff because Marshall doesn't draw.
But you know what, Marshall?
They gave Northern Illinois a chance in the Orange Bowl, and they couldn't sell out.
I'll tell you what, though. That Boca Raton Bowl with Marshall and Northern Illinois looks very nice.
Yeah, for a football standpoint, no one's showing up to that game. Just like no one showed up to the Hawaii Bowl. And Hawaii was, at the time, the best bowl game you could go to just as far as locale.
What about the Popeye's Bahamas Bowl? And speaking of that, where's our, like, Tom Abraham with, like, tickets? You know,
I've already yelled at him. He's not getting us tickets. He's hanging us out to dry. He's taking the tickets if there's anything. I don't even know. Do you need a visa to get to the Bahamas? Is that part of
it? You need a passport, yeah.
God. I don't know. Now I don't want to go, and that's too much effort. But I do like the system that the final tier of SEC games, the bowl games that featured SEC teams didn't come out until, I think, 4:30 Sunday, which I'm okay with. I like the suspense. I don't need everything thrusted right in front of my face. I can wait. We can slow play this a little bit.
That was
the anticipation is what college football is different than as far as NFL football. At least I have to wait to see my bowl matchup because the playoffs, knowing where my team is supposed to play, is just way too normal.
First I was hearing Tennessee was going to Memphis, and that was a done deal. And then Memphis went down, and then now it was going to be Nashville, but then Nashville went down. And everybody was just naming cities, saying, oh, Tennessee will go here, Tennessee will go there. I finally gave up at about 3:15 and said, I'm just going to wait till 3:30. I'm not going to say anything more. And hearing, like, Auburn going to, say, Nashville as well, or going to the Belk Bowl, this was just getting ridiculous. I mean, once Texas accepted that bid to the Texas Bowl, everybody was going nuts wanting A&M in Texas.
First of all, you people don't understand. Texas A&M doesn't want to play Texas, and the SEC is the most powerful conference in the world as far as college football is concerned. They would not let that happen. Texas A&M went to SEC and said, we don't want to play Texas. No matter what you got to do, negotiate out of this. We're not interested in playing Texas. So, they don't play Texas. Which, again, if fact that a team can go up to their conference and say, I don't want to play Notre Dame. All right. Lose your bowl matchup again. Well, we're trying to project them against Notre Dame. Like hell you are.
Well, if you also look at it, too, I mean,
you're going to have Georgia.
We, instead of Texas and A&M, we actually got better matchups in A&M versus West Virginia at the Liberty Bowl, plus Texas and Arkansas, an old Southwest Conference matchup in the Texas Bowl.
There are some interesting matchups, I should say, and some games that I'll be very interested in watching. And I'll be watching a lot of them. But I'll tell you one that I'm not that interested in. That's Auburn, Wisconsin. That is a boring, boring matchup between two teams.
How could you say boring?
With my mouth, I could say it's boring. And by using my face. Listen, we talk about we want to show these teams up against each other. Be like, hey, it's strength versus strength. Why can't we get that? And don't ask me who I'd rather have, because there's like half a dozen teams I'd rather have. I'd rather have seen Notre Dame against Auburn. I'd rather see Maryland against Auburn. I would rather see about seven or eight other teams against Auburn if I had my druthers. Wisconsin? This is why I don't like the bowl tie-ins. I can't just create just great matchups. I have to create great matchups because of the bowl tie-ins. I'd rather seen Auburn-Marshall than Auburn-Wisconsin. And that, my friends, is a scientific truth.
What about Auburn and Minnesota?
Would have rather seen Auburn-Minnesota than Auburn-Wisconsin. Flat out, bar none. Because I'm a guy that likes to see teams that aren't exactly similar as far as their playing style, which is, you know, one's not hurry up, but they're all run right in my face. Secondly, these teams just played a few years ago in a bowl game. I know it wasn't 2011. I'm done. I just want to see new matchups.
Oh, so you're all...
If the new matchups exist, let me see the new matchups. If Auburn could not play Minnesota, and if Auburn could not play Notre Dame, which I've never met, and Auburn could not play Maryland, and Wisconsin was the only team left, then I understand. I'm not going to it. I won't watch much of it.
So you're going to be all about that Minnesota-Missouri Citrus Bowl.
I'm all right with that.
Oh, my God.
I'm all right with it.
You want to talk about god-awful. That will be the god-awful bowl.
No, the god-awful game happens with Iowa-Tennessee.
Oh.
That's the god-awful game.
Iowa football. I can't. Yeah.
Iowa football. Kirk Ferentz gets $400 million a year to go to
400.
The Citrus Bowl and presumably lose to an SEC team.
He gets a lot of corn out of that, too.
Good. Good. I'm glad. That's why he'll never leave Iowa. He's invested in the corn subsidies there. 866-485-9867. There are some interesting bowl games. I don't want to talk about them now. I just wanted to tell you that Auburn, Wisconsin is boring. If you're excited about it, you just have college football issues. You're just excited about college football and seeing your team play. It's not that fun of a matchup. It's not that fun. By the way, happening right now, Auburn Will Muschamp being introduced.
Boom, 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 boom.
Excited. Next, Sports Blitz. Welcome back in. Sports Flood, everybody. About 20-some-odd minutes left in this fun morning of radio for you. The Will Muschamp to Auburn press conference is happening. Well, it's about to happen. We got the live stream on in the studio, and right now we are looking at a door ajar, but nobody speaking. So if that comes up before we let out here at, you know, 10:57-ish or so, we will bring you some of that live audio. It's called History in the Making, people. Coach Boom, 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 will be making $3.7 million next year. $2.1 million from Florida and $1.6 million from Auburn. Now, let me just throw this out there as a stupid move. This goes to you, University of Florida. You did not have a clause in the contract of Will Muschamp that says whatever salary he gets from another place he goes to contributes towards his buyout. That means you are on the hook for $2.1 million per year. Oh, I'm on my Twitter now. Jay Jacobs just sent out a picture of Gus Malzahn and Will Muschamp together. Gus Malzahn, slightly taller, just so you know. Will Muschamp is wearing a light blue shirt, a blue-on-blue jacket on slacks, and an orange tie. And in the background, they're watching ESPN.
Oh, how nice.
It is. So I'm pretty excited about that. Pretty excited about this press conference that's coming up. And now it looks like we have just random people entering the room, which looks like maybe someone's been sitting down the hall because it's about time for the press conference to start. This live stream started with Philip Marshall standing in front of the camera, which makes me feel like he's doing, as Warblogger put it on Twitter, a power move because he technically broke the news, which...
Wrong.
7 hours before, one man named Cole actually broke the news for us. So we'll bring you that press conference as it happens, providing the live stream works as planned. So until then, we stall. So, Mike, how was your weekend, man? Oh, actually, we got Gus Malzahn at the podium now.
Oh, that was real quick.
Mike, let's bring him up.
Let's bring him up.
Yeah.
We also set out to get somebody that understood Auburn and be a good fit for Auburn. And, we definitely did that. Really excited to welcome Will, wife Carol, Frank Jackson, Wish, our family. Also, like to thank Jay Jackson for his leadership.
I got it turned all the way up. So,
to make something like this possible and his commitment to Auburn football.
You pranking.
Just a couple notes. Will will not coach the bowl game. He will monitor practice. We'll get to know our kids. Charlie Harbison will act as our defense coordinator during the bowl, and as far as that goes. So, I'd like to welcome our new defense coordinator, Will Muschamp.
All right, how y'all doing? Great to be back. Now my third senior at Auburn. I was glad to see the 90s there, and then defensive coordinator in 06 and 07. I see a lot of familiar faces out there. But it's great to be back. I want to thank Gus for this opportunity to come to Auburn. It's a great place. It's a special place, obviously, and the way you treat people, the way you handle your business, and I'm really excited to be back here. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to thank Dr. Dewey and Jay Davis for making this opportunity happen. And to see all the facility changes and all the nice things that happen, I will thank you. This campus is awesome to see. I see the wellness center, and I know the student athlete housing. And recruiting for all the kids that come to Florida and come to Auburn, they tell me how nice the housing was here. Be on that side of it now. So I'm excited about that. I want to thank my family, Carol and Jackson and Whit. Being a coach is wise, but a coach's kids are hard. Sometimes you got to move them around a lot as a profession. And they certainly have been supportive of me. But this is really a family decision. My nephew, Jordan, goes to school here at Auburn. He's in his second year. My family, my mom's in Mentone, Alabama. Carol's parents are about an hour and a half away. I've got family in Atlanta and Rome, Georgia. So this is a family decision. This is a very easy decision for us to have the opportunity to come back to Auburn. It makes it really special for us. Certainly glad to be a part of the family. Can't wait to get started. Looking forward to getting on the road to Cruz here today, hopefully.
Okay, so the microphone issues in Auburn aren't that great. Which is not the fault of Auburn. Actually, it is.
Maybe the microphone went boom.
You heard him introduced as the head coach in waiting. No, just a defensive coordinator. Just a guy coming back home to Rome, Georgia, to coach Auburn in their defensive everything. So congratulations to Coach Muschamp back on the microphone issues. We don't need to hear all the reporter question and answers. It's not going to be that scintillating for a Saturday morning at 10:40 in the morning. So, congratulations. He's back as your defensive coordinator for the Auburn football Tigers. Tweeting in at Arkishay. Travis Beatty tweeted at Arkishay. Can they get a decent microphone in AU? It's not necessarily the microphone issue itself. It's more of the microphone is not connected with the video, which is still on Auburn. I still blame them because we didn't get some rogue stream. This was Auburn's official stream, so they should probably get that checked out at some point. But, you know, press conference is over anyway. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break because we got one more segment to go. It's one more segment to go. When we come back, this hire plus what is happening at Michigan plus what's happening in Wisconsin too, man. All that's next. Welcome back in Sports Flood. Check us out on Twitter at RKSHA, at Wump730, at Magic Mike Rose. A couple of tweets coming in. B_Ran18, B-Ran, tweets at RKSHA. Maybe they should have spent a little money on some audio equipment. Hashtag Auburn. I agree. Apparently they just did not want to plug it in. And I'll tell you this. Those photographers, chill out. All the... I'm trying to hear a dude talk. It's really awful when you don't have a microphone plugged in. Justin plugged in one tweet at RKSHA. Did someone else set up Auburn's audio for the Muschamp presser? Hashtag sports, but I think they may have made a trip. I think they may have made a trip. Hey, a story we haven't talked about yet that was sort of finalized and updated yesterday, that Hugh Freeze is raised. Has been announced and confirmed. The school said Friday that this finalized contract with Freeze will pay him a base salary of $4.3 million next season, which is a raise of more than $1 million for winning 10 games. Winning nine games.
Did you see the clause in his contract before this that every game after or every win after two SEC wins? He made $100,000 per game.
That's why you got to get at a school that's desperate and it sucked. That's what you got to do. More than $1 million for winning nine games. School also said that the assistant coach's pool of salary will raise by at least 25%. Freeze's base salary rises $100,000 each year of the deal, or 50% of the annual bonuses earned in the previous season, depending on which is greater. His base salary immediately jumps to $5 million if the Rebels make the SEC championship game. Make.
Not win.
Because if he wins, he'll get more bonuses.
But
who is Ole Miss? To give a guy $1 million raise for winning nine games. This arms race is ridiculous, Mike. How are you paying this much money for this much not greatness?
It is the artwork of one man and one man alone, and you know this as well as I do.
Jimmy Sexton deserves to just retire in perpetuity. That's the word, in perpetuity.
But goodness gracious, this man has created more rumors, more stories to get every school freaking out, and he's representing Saban. He represents Malzahn. Which
no matter what he does, he gets $4.3 million, Hugh Freeze does next year. Last year, he got $3.15 million. $1,150,000 raise for nine wins. Unreal.
And then $1 million raise if he does go to Atlanta, which Ole Miss has never done.
By the way, don't think I'm not ticked off about Texas A&M's Kevin Sumlin making $5 million.
Yeah, that dude.
That guy ain't done jack. I'm sorry. I don't think a Cotton Bowl means much to me. And I don't think having a Heisman Trophy winner means that much to me.
You think he's going to make the power play of Pelini now? Since Auburn's got Muschamp?
all I want to do is be a head coach now. That's all I want to do.
You got the look to it.
Big fat guy. No, there are no fat coaches anymore. Just me and Barry Alvarez.
Hey, man, Gino's still coaching.
Gino Toretta, he's getting big.
Mangino.
Mangino's, where's he coaching?
I've seen him coach. I've got to find it real quick.
All right, I don't know where Mike Mangino, he was at Kansas last time I saw him. And I think he got some Maryland time or something. But $1 million for 9 wins. This arms race, I can't.
He is offensive coordinator at Iowa State.
Okay, he's a coordinator.
But still, he's a coach.
A coach. Congratulations. Here's your Chick-fil-A bowl and $1 million, by the way.
$1 million. $1 million.
What is this buyout? Like 45 states? I mean, what? At this point, you're going to get to a point where it's going to be impossible to get a coach from an SEC school. It's just going to be too much money.
You can get a coordinator, but not a head coach.
I know nobody thinks that they could possibly go.
That's SEC Network money talking right there.
God bless the network. God bless the network.
Your face is just like...
It hurts. Mike, it honestly hurts. Every day this time of year, I come in and I see a new silly number.
$1.15 million.
For nine wins. That's a great season. That's
the best Ole Miss season in 10 years.
I got to move on to another topic.
All right, let's talk about Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm okay with Paul Chryst. It's not a big deal if they hire Chryst as coach. Apparently that's going to be the case. Paul Chryst, you know, kind of makes sense. He's, you know, kind of a Wisconsin guy. You know, was a coordinator there, played there. That all makes sense.
But I got a question with
but
that.
I don't. Yeah.
If Wisconsin makes the Big 12 championship, or not Big 12, Big 10 championship game, is Chryst going to leave like Anderson and Bielema before?
Brett Bielema and Gary Anderson leaving speaks more to the administration and not to them, I think.
But have you noticed the last two times Wisconsin has made the Big Ten championship game, their coaches have gone in that offseason?
No, I understand, and that's pretty exciting for them. What I worry about, though, is that administration. Because I think Barry Alvarez seems to have the standpoint of, well, we're going to get guys to just run this offense that I've been running for 1,500 years. Why do I need to pay big money when I can just pay pretty big money? Why do I need to give assistants tons of money when this is a plug-and-play system? Which, part of me really respects Barry Alvarez for that. Because I think the arms race, as you heard me exclaiming just a couple seconds ago, is getting stupid silly. It's getting stupid. But the point that we're getting that to the cost of doing business. You know, Gus Malzahn goes to the national championship game. That's impressive, but that's only 1 year. Because the next year he goes 8-4. So which one's the real Gus Malzahn? Which one's the real Auburn? Who knows, because you get an extension and a raise no matter what. Hugh Freeze took a team that was not doing so hot when he got there, has a really nice recruiting class, one that shocks everybody, gets to 9 wins this year, wins the Egg Bowl, which is, you know, one of the top-tier bowls you can win at the end of the year, and gets $1 million raise. And it's not like he was making 1.7 and he proved himself to 2.8. He's already at 3.1 million.
That's more than about half the expenses of Conference USA teams put out on their football.
You come just to this conference and understand that this conference will pay more money. This conference will dedicate more cash to you. This conference will give you more coaches. This conference will make sure you stay as happy as long as possible. We'll pay your coordinators $1.6 million. I don't care. We just want that name. We just want that guy. We'll pay an offensive coordinator named Rhett Lashley $600,000 for being Gus Malzahn's puppet.
But yet he's going to be a head coach somewhere.
Well, look, Kirby Smart is getting paid much more than Lane Kiffin is right now in Alabama.
Well, you know exactly what
Kirby Smart's getting 1.3.
Well, with Kirby, we all know there's only one place he's going to leave for.
That's Nick Saban's position.
No.
Yeah. Where's Kirby going to leave for?
Well, he could go Saban, but once Rick is done over at Georgia.
Yeah, I don't think he goes to Georgia. Because I don't think Mark Rick's ever going to get fired. I think he's just going to win 9 wins for the next 17 years.
Go to Atlanta every 5 years.
Yeah, and be like, well, hey, look, you know, it was pretty close against Alabama. If Alabama hadn't tackled him there, he would have gotten a touchdown and won the game. But yeah, and it slipped a little bit.
But you know who's not going to be getting a coach from the SEC? Michigan.
Les Miles just needs to take that job. Les Miles of Michigan would be perfect. Perfect. It would be perfect. The sad part is Les Miles is not realizing that. Les, it would be perfect. Bro, get yourself to Michigan. I know you don't have to have the Michigan man. You're starting to tire out at LSU, right? Your tenure could only be 7-8 years in the SEC before people start saying, no way. You could start fresh with Michigan. Les, listen to me. If you don't do this, you're being silly. All right? Eat that grass and take your up to Ann Arbor. See you next week. Sports Flood!